Philippians chapter 4. Now, this is the end of Paul's letter to the people, the ecclesia, the church, the believers at Philippi. And I said that it all began, that church, when he went there and found Lydia praying by the riverside and preached to her, stayed at her house, baptized her, and then he got put in prison, and there was the earthquake, and he baptized the prison keeper in Philippi and all his family that same hour of the night. And from those small beginnings, there had arisen this church. But problems had arisen, as always do. And yet he's very, very positive in how he tries to deal with them all. And he keeps emphasizing throughout this letter, joy. Because when he was in prison there in Philippi, he sung hymns and psalms right in the middle of the night. And the other prisoners were absolutely amazed that Paul could have so much joy. And so this is quite a theme of all his relations with the people in Philippi. So he says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, my beloved, stand firm in the Lord." So they were his rejoicing. "I exhort Euodia and I exhort Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I urge you also, true companion, help those women, for they labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Well, I wonder if Euodia and Syntyche, and it says there were other women as well who worked with him in preaching the gospel, I wonder if these were some of the women who were gathering with Lydia, whom he baptized, whom he met by the riverside. But they'd now started to fall out with each other. And he's saying, this is not the way. If we each have the mind of Christ, as we saw in Philippians chapter 2, then that is what will bring us together. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle attitude be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Now you might say, well, Paul lived in the first century, and Jesus didn't return in the first century, so why does he say the Lord is at hand? Well, I conclude that, because he says this quite often, that, you know, Jesus is coming soon, I conclude, therefore, that it is part of being a Christian to expect Jesus to come back immediately. This is why we can start each day with the thought, let's hope Jesus comes back today. And that's what I've said to you children every morning when we've got up. Let's hope Jesus comes back today. I've said that to you every day of your lives. So that is, I think, the implication of the New Testament, that we are to expect Jesus at any moment, although we don't know when he's coming back. He may not come back, as it was in Paul's case, for thousands of years. Okay, that doesn't matter, because death is like a sleep, and we are in Christ, if we're baptized into him, and so when he comes back, we will awake from our sleep. And as Paul says, therefore, as he said to the Philippians, it is a case of being absent from the body and present with the Lord. It is a case of departing when we die and being with Christ. Not literally, not straight away, but in that the gap between our death and his coming is just a moment. So from that point of view, Jesus and his second coming are very, very near to us. "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So then, to be spiritually minded, this is so important. It's what we think about in our hearts when nobody's looking, when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, as you're going around your life, as you're just traveling, walking, studying, working, whatever you're doing, all these things are from God. And we're given these sort of mundane things to do in our lives to test us. And the question is, yes, but where's your heart? And this is why I think it's important to be very careful what we look at on screens and what you listen to. Because if you keep listening, for example, just to the radio, you might say, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it, but it will fill your mind with rubbish, with emptiness. Whereas if you want to be spiritually minded, fill your mind with spiritual things. Have the Bible or something spiritual playing, spiritual songs and music, as Paul says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is the way, just being spiritually minded. And yet if we are reading loads of novels and watching movies and filling our heads with the songs of this world, that's not the way to be spiritually minded at all. So he says, think on these things, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your thought for me. I know you did indeed take thought for me, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak regarding want, for I have learned to be content, whatever my situation. I know also how to abound, and I know how to be abased for everything. And in all things, I have learned the secret, both to be full and to be hungry, both to have plenty and to be in want. I can do all things in him that strengthens me. However, you did well that you did fellowship with my affliction. And you yourselves also know, you Philippians, that in the beginning of the gospel's work, when I departed into Macedonia, no church had fellowship with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but only you. That even in Thessalonica, you sent often to my need. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that accrues to your account. But I have all things and abound. I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus the things that came from you. They were as the odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, pleasing to God. And my God shall supply every need of yours, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers that are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those who are of Caesar's household. These were the converts to Christ that Paul had made in the very family of Caesar. Now you see how through men being horrible to Paul and him ending up in prison in Rome, even the very extended family of the Roman Caesar, the most powerful man on earth, came to know the gospel thanks to Paul preaching to the soldiers that he was regularly chained to and them being converted. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.